Next, I'm honored to introduce you to Marie Cope. You may know her from Holy Trinity Catholic Bookstore, where she's been manager for the last 15 years. Marie teaches her employees to regard their job as an apostolate, to enkindle the faith with beautiful devotional items and good reading material. Marie is now in St. Anne's Parish, but she spent most of her life in Derby, happily married to Les for 40 years. He died of cancer 6 years ago, but she doesn't get much time alone since her son lives by with 5 young children and a baby on the way. Marie feels a bit bashful about coming up here, but that Mama Mary, she's bringing her along, just like Mary drove her twice to Medjugorje and once to Lourdes.
Thank you, dear. Good evening, everyone. Every Tuesday, one of our talks will be an infomercial to try to get you excited about the official prayer of the Catholic Church. And it goes by several names: the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Breviary. And I kind of learned to enjoy doing the Christian prayer at the store. We're by Bishop Carroll, so we have a lot of the kids, the students come over to the store a lot. And we had a lot of customers coming in, and they were kind of wanting to understand doing the liturgy, the hours of the Christian prayer. They kind of complained about all the ribbons and where they have to go to put those ribbons at. Of course, there are guidebooks that shows you exactly where you're supposed to be. I talked to one of the young men that came into the store. I knew he was going to be a seminarian, and I asked him if maybe he'd be willing to go ahead and come to the store and go ahead and teach, or at least do the evening prayer. And that way some of the people that were wanting to learn it could come to the store. They didn't have to buy the prayer book, but they could come to the store and we could do evening prayer. And it turned out to be so much fun. Really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed all these students. One time we had like 20 different kids there, if you can imagine. And we would end by singing the Salve Regina. So that was really pretty awesome. But it's really a beautiful prayer. For me, it made me, there's so many other people that are doing it. There's the priests, the sisters, the bishops, the Pope, you know, doing this prayer. Somehow it just feels like there's unity there. So the Christian Prayer Edition is the real deal. It's not a paraphrase or a condensed version as you find in the popular Magnificat. That's really kind of a really tiny breviary, but it's a good magazine. Anyway, it contains the morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, which have been known for centuries as, like Father talked, Lauds, Terce, Vespers, Compline. For the major hours, Lauds and Vespers, the proper antiphons are provided for all the seasons, and it's just all there in your book. And like I said, if you keep your ribbons moving, you know, then you know where you're at. And so it's not really all that difficult. People are afraid that it is, but it really isn't. The reason Divine Office fits into this one red-covered volume is because it doesn't contain the office readings. And then the monks, when they would do morning prayer, actually it was very early in the morning. We're talking about 12 a.m. But it gave them a head start to praise God in the name of all creation. The office of readings is comprised of longer psalms than Lauds and Vespers, and readings for the saint of the day, which I always enjoy. And then readings from like the early church fathers, which again, and some of the saints, very, very interesting readings. See, the whole Bible is divided into segments and much longer than the readings we have at Mass. And so many people, they do subscribe to the Magnificat magazine, and it is good. It does have your morning prayer, and it has your evening prayer, and the antiphons that you have to pray. And it's got some of the saints, a little more obscure saints than what you normally think about. So that's really good too. The Office of Readings is a treasure trove of the best selections. Today we are also offering a few devotional items on Saint Benedict because it is his feast day. And Saint Benedict lived at the end of the era of the Desert Fathers. What drove these men into the desert to spend their life in severe fasting and constant prayer. But it was a combat zone. And so it's a military spirit, just young people feel a noble desire to protect our nation from enemies, and they subject themselves to boot camp, you know, becoming the military people. There's a lot of famous stories from the fathers. They would go into the city to sell baskets and they would see only a few devils perched on the city walls, and they would head back to their cells in the desert and see thousands of devils. If the devil could keep one monk or nun from praying and fasting, that devil could prevent the salvation of many souls because of the power of the prayer of the church. So Saint Benedict was so good at combat and inspired and trained so many young men that he ended up organizing entire communities. By now, this was possible because it was no longer illegal to be a Christian. Benedictines began heading north into pagan Europe, and they would drain swamps, not the Congress, swamps, okay, plant farms and vineyards, and establish powerhouses of prayer. And before long, Europe was Catholic. Lay people learned to pray the office. Even almost modern times, the family of St. Catherine Laboure would walk to Sunday Mass in the morning, and in the evening, they'd walk back to the church to join the pastor, who led the congregation in the Vespers, which is the evening prayer. So sisters asked me to stress the importance of the power in praying from the official prayer of the church. It's called the office because it's official. It's wonderful to pray from your heart or your favorite novena or the Divine Mercy Chaplet taught by Jesus himself to Saint Faustina. But the divine office is mainly comprised of prayers from the Bible itself, so that when you pray those psalms alone in your bedroom, you're not really praying alone. You know, God has said we need to be praying all the time, right? So with the liturgy, the hours, you kind of figure that we're all praying this, and there's different times all throughout the world. So if you think about it, if we're all doing this, we are kind of all praying all day, which is what Christ had asked us to do. We need to be praying, interceding for the Buddhists and the Hindus and, you know, millions of unevangelized people who are often trying to lead good lives but are assaulted by temptations and even despair because they have no knowledge or hope of heaven. They need grace straight from the throne. Many good Protestants pray, but their prayers are like bullets against the enemy. So Protestants are really kind of isolated. They don't, because they don't have a head. You know, like the Pope, they don't have that head person that kind of keeps them all united. Every voice added to that prayer amplifies that prayer. The prayer of God is like dropping nuclear bombs on the enemy. It drops bombs of grace on the world. Whenever you can make it to even one extra Mass a week or pray even one section of the divine office, your prayer is God's prayer. And just think of the millions of people in purgatory that really, they don't have people praying for them. So this is wonderful. I think that's about it.